For now, let's be encouraged by the Word of God and hope this would really prime our hearts for the, you know, for the prayer time, but also just a mindset of service for one another. But let's go to a book of John, chapter 17. This is the Lord praying. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying to his Father here in chapter 17 of John. The title of tonight's message, A Cup Full of Joy, Please. A Cup Full of Joy, Please. And as we get to it, we'll perhaps we'll get a little bit better understanding of the context of the title. But let's go to John chapter 17. I'll just read that verse and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And so there's just this one verse to get us started. John 17, verse 13. Boy, the Lord is praising and praying to his Father. And he says this, "And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a tremendous thought, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed for his disciples, and not for them only, but for all of us who would believe on him through their word. And Father, we hold their word, your word. And so, Father, Lord Jesus Christ prayed for us. What an awesome, awesome thought, an awesome, awesome Savior, an all-sufficient Savior, a loving Savior, an interceding Savior. Father, a Savior that he can feel our infirmities, and a Savior that has joy that he desires to fulfill in us. What a mind-blowing truth. And so, Father, I thank you for your precious word. Anoint these lips of clay, Father, even now, that I would speak from heaven on high to encourage your saints. And Father, we love you. Thank you for your precious word and for this time of prayer, this time of incense. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ kind of discloses his such a desire that he has in his heart here in verse 13. And he's praying to his Father in heaven. And he says this, "And now come I to thee." Of course, the idea is Jesus is leaving earth and going to go to the Father in heaven. Of course, this held true then, of course, and it holds true now, because none of us have seen the Lord, okay? And the idea is Jesus says here that he wants to fulfill his joy in us. And so his joy fulfilled in us. And so what does it mean? Well, he says he goes to the Father, and these things I speak in the world. The idea is that while Jesus was on earth, he spoke his word. Now, Jesus isn't on earth anymore, so all we have left is what? His word. So Jesus is saying, "Father, I'm coming to you. I'm going to leave the disciples here. I'm heading up to heaven to be in the right hand of God." But we have his word. So he's bodily, he's in glory, but we have his word. And because we have his word, the rest of it goes, "that they might have my joy," so the joy of the Lord, the joy of Jesus, "fulfilled in themselves." And that word "fulfilled" kind of got me thinking, you know, what does this mean to be fulfilled, to have something fulfilled? And it kind of got me thinking, maybe I'm too much of a food guy, okay, but it kind of got me thinking of the restaurant scene, okay, if I want to make an order for my favorite entree, okay, I think of, I don't know, my juicy burger, or maybe my favorite beverage at the restaurant, you know, or maybe my steak. I put that order in. That order doesn't do anything unless it's fulfilled, right? The idea, it starts with my spoken word. I think of the waiter. Maybe the waiter comes up. "Yeah, what would you like? What can I get you?" And the whole process of ordering to fulfillment, okay, starts with what I say, my spoken word. Okay, now this is going to mirror what Jesus has for us here because it's his spoken word to us. Okay, but here's the thing. It starts with my spoken word. I say, "Hey, I'll take a medium burger, okay, a medium steak burger. Okay, this one, I enjoy that. Pepper jack cheese, some jalapenos, fried onions, okay, brioche bun, okay, fries on the side. Okay, so that's my order I ask." Now, the order doesn't mean anything unless it's fulfilled. Okay, and then the idea, what happens if the order is ignored? Well, maybe I give it to the waitress and she heads off, or he heads off. After 5 minutes, nothing. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I'm like, man, it should be done by now. What's going on? And so if it gets ignored, I get what? Frustrated. Or if the order gets served up, waiter comes back and like, "Here's, just as you ordered, Cobb salad." And I'm like, now you got to know me. I'm not a salad guy, okay? If you like salads, I'm like, eh, fine either way. No, but I'm not a salad guy. If I'm paying for something, I want it to be cooked. I'm not going to just pay for it. That's just me, okay? And so I get the salad, like, I didn't. Maybe you act differently, but if I got something else that I didn't order, I'll be like, well, I didn't order this. Can you send it back? I want my burger. Okay, that's what I ordered. Or maybe you want a juicy, rare steak to get it dried and well done. Maybe some of you don't care. Like, ah, it's okay. I like them either way. Maybe some of you are like, no, I'm sending this back. I like it juicy, you know. I'll catch it before it hops off the plate. Oh, whatever. Okay, but what I'm saying is we all have your preferences. You order up. The order doesn't do anything until it's fulfilled. Now, think about it this way. If you get exactly what you want and it, in fact, it delights you, it pleases you, and you're so thrilled, then you're joyful, right? Your order is fulfilled. You have joy. Yes, this is what I wanted. Okay, now let's flip roles here. Now, say you're not the customer, but say you're the waiter, all right? You're the waiter, and you're the worker, and ever get chewed out by a grumpy customer? I know my kids have. They tell their stories. Okay, they work in service, restaurant industry. Okay, but if you have a grumpy customer that just chews you out, how do you feel? Well, the times that it's happened to me, I feel kind of down. I tend to get more sad than mad. It depends how your heart wired. Some people get more mad than sad, okay? But you certainly don't feel good. You don't feel joyful. You feel frustrated. You feel maybe resentful. You feel angry. You feel maybe upset, whatever the case is. Certainly not joyful. But imagine if the customer, instead of being upset at you and unloads on you, imagine the customer is so delighted, so joyful with what you gave them, they can't thank you enough. Right, and so you give that burger to the customer. Here you go. Here's your medium burger with the jalapenos and whatever, the pepper jack cheese, and like, oh, this is awesome. You know what? I've had a hard day. This is all I've been looking forward to, and this really hit the spot. You made my day, and thank you so much. You know, maybe the customer is overreacting, okay? But the idea is the customer is so happy. Thank you so much. I really needed this. This has been such a blessing. I really wanted this, and you're just so awesome. Thank you for giving me this perfect burger, okay? Thank you so much. Thank you for this awesome burger. Now, what happens is my joy in getting my order fulfilled becomes your joy for serving it to me. Hang on. When you fulfilled my request, my order, it started with me, my spoken word. When you fulfilled that, made me happy because you gave me what I wanted. But I'm so happy when I hug you. Like, thank you for giving me this burger. Love it. My joy became your joy. Okay? And the Lord Jesus Christ, He has a desire in all of us for joy to be fulfilled. That means it's there, but it's dormant, waiting to be fulfilled. Okay, I want us to understand this. It kind of got me thinking, what does fulfilled mean? And so, if we were all waiters, waiting on Jesus, and He was the perfect customer, and we say, well, Lord, what would you like? And He says, I'll take a full cup of joy, please. I'll take a full cup of joy. If we serve that to Jesus the way He ordered it, He would be joyful, because we're giving Him what He wants. But when we give Him what He wants, He's so delightful that joy becomes our joy because I was the one that served it to Him. Okay, so how do I fulfill Jesus' order to have a full cup of joy? Because it beckons that question. Because when you read this chapter 17, Jesus doesn't specifically spell out in detail how that is going to happen. And, you know, He doesn't have to. He's praying to the Father. The Father knows it. Jesus, the Son, knows it. But Jesus does mention this further back to His disciples. Okay, so let's kind of go back to John 13. Skip back with me to John chapter 13. Now this is, in fact, not that long before this in 17, but John chapter 13, this is when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. Okay, let's go to verse 12, because Jesus is telling the disciples this so that they know. Let's go to verse 12, John 13. Let's go to verse 12. It says, so after He had washed their feet, okay, we all know this story, and had taken His garments, he was set down again and said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Now, of course, he's asking more than just the obvious. Obviously, he washed their feet. But what does it mean? Okay, what does it signify? What does it represent? What does it mean to us as disciples? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Ah, so that's the punchline, right? If Jesus did it, what? How much more us who are servants of Jesus? Yes, definitely we've got to do that. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Again, the implications are huge, because if I don't do this, I'm saying I'm better than Jesus. Wow, that's a really prideful thing for me to say. So don't make sure I do it, right? But not just out of necessity. Not just out of, okay, I got to do it. Okay, but look at verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye, that's us, if ye do them. That's awesome. Now he says if, because I might not do it. Okay, God gives me the choice to do it or not do it. It goes hand in hand with our opening verse in John 17 when Jesus says, he says, these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Might meaning if. That means it can happen, it might not happen. Depends if I fulfill the order or not. And so the request from Jesus, here he's telling us to serve one another, right? Bear one another's burdens. When I do this, this is what he is requesting. When I do this, I'm happy when I do that. Okay, now, but server, beware. Okay, the idea is, yes, we are to serve one another, but we cannot do it grudgingly in the flesh. It won't work, okay? It's kind of like being ever get a grumpy waiter? You know, we don't want that, okay? We want someone who's pleasant, wants to be there, wants to be a blessing to you at the table. Okay, so we can't serve one another grudgingly. That won't work. To do that is not just being a grouchy server at a restaurant, but it's kind of like giving someone a burger with the wrong ingredients, all right, or cooking the steak wrong. You might be doing it on the surface, but that's not quite what they want. Now, I guess in theory we can do that, but Jesus won't be happy, and therefore I would not get his joy in me, because he won't be rejoicing the way I do it. When he's not rejoicing, I won't get his joy, and then I'll be exhausted and miserable for serving in my own strength. Okay, I can try to do it, I can try to fake it, I can try to serve and bear someone else's burdens, but if I do it in the flesh, I'm going to be weary, I'm going to get exhausted, I'm going to quit. All right, I'm going to get burnt out. So what's the right way to serve? What's the secret ingredient? That's God's love. Okay, don't miss this. This is huge. We're still in John 13 when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, but it all starts in verse 1. Look at verse 1 with me. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, and almost verbatim, he praised this in John 17, right? He's going to go, he's spoken the words that hopefully they do what I say, that their joy may be full, right? Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And so the whole catalyst, the whole cause, the whole seed of what happens in chapter 13 of him washing the disciples' feet as a servant. The servants are what do this, okay? So Jesus is playing the role of the servant. The whole reason why he's doing it is his love for them, right? That's verse 1. Just like that, look at same chapter 13, but verse 33. Verse 33. And just like that, but don't miss this. Yes, it's going to be our love for one another that we serve, but more than just our love for each other that makes us serve one another, it's also going to be the same love of Jesus that makes us serve one another. Okay, don't miss this. So verse 33, same chapter 13, says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Same context as John 17. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, Jesus is going to die, he's going to ascend, he's not going to be physically there, so he's telling them now. Okay, telling them now, so when he's not there, they still have his word. So what's the punchline? Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now the next part of this verse is absolutely crucial. This is a secret ingredient to what we serve to fulfill the order that Jesus wants. As I have loved you. So we serve one another, not with my love for you, but we serve one another with the love of Jesus. Don't miss this. Because this means that it's not so much I serve you because I love you. I do. But more so, I serve you because Jesus loves you. Hang on. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. This is why I serve. Now, if I love you, that's bonus. Okay, but what Jesus is saying is his love for us is the reason why, it's in verse 1, it's the reason why he did what he did. And then when it comes to us following him, it's not my love for you, it's still his love for us. Okay, so as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This is huge. It is the love of Jesus, not my own love, that fulfills Jesus' order, that fulfills his request, that fulfills his law. A couple of verses, you don't have to turn there, just listen to this. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. This is the love of Christ, not our love, this is his love. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Galatians 5:13-14, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's love. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the request, the order, the commandment of Christ is fulfilled by love. James 2:8, if ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So how do we love others with Jesus' love? Because I know this. Okay, I want to give. I want to fulfill Jesus' order. I want to give him what he has requested, a full cup of love. And then, of course, then he will get the joy, and then his joy will be my joy because I'm pleasing him. And so I can only do it in the love of Jesus. How do I love others with the love of Jesus? Don't overthink it. The only way to do it is to receive his love by faith, okay? The more we believe God's love for us, the more we receive it. The more we receive it, the more it constrains, compels, moves us. Okay, the love of Jesus, of course, the divine love, the charity, that giving and serving sacrificial love that God has for us. The more we have of the love of Jesus, the more we will do the same and exhibit the same to others. Because it has to be, Jesus says in verse 34, it's his love. So the love that we have from him, the saved love, we give to others. Okay, it's not me manufacturing my own love. It's his love. Okay. Do we believe that Jesus died for us? I trust that we do. To die for someone is the ultimate expression of love. But keep this truth in mind with service that follows. So let's go to John 15. So John 15, let's go to verse 11. Now, this is the abiding in Christ chapter, John 15, verse 11. Very similar context. Jesus says here, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. He's so happy because we are pleasing him, and his joy becomes our joy, right? When you delight and fulfill that order, that joy becomes our joy, and that my joy, might be full, okay? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So the love that we have from Jesus is the love that we express to others. Not my own love, it's his love. And then Jesus expounds on his love to us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who died for you on the cross? Jesus Christ, amen. Did you catch this, my friend? Greater love hath no man than this. God could not love you anymore. His love for you is maxed out. I mean, it's not as though, oh, you know, I love, but I could love a little bit more. No, he couldn't love you anymore. His love for you is at the max, at the brim. I mean, it's 100%. 110%, you want to use that. Okay, the idea is, and it's it's demonstrated, it's proven to us, it's commended to us, when Jesus Christ died for you and I. That's the love of the Lord for us. And when I think of that, when I believe that, when I receive that, I'm not saying we don't believe it, but sometimes we can forget it. You know, and when we remind ourselves every day that Jesus died for us, when we remind ourselves every day that this is how much he loves us. Let's go to Romans 5:5. This is huge. Romans 5:5. Because this is the secret to how we love others with the love of Jesus. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? If you want the love of Christ full in your life, not just to be saved, but to live victoriously and live obediently, live servingly with the love of Christ, you've got to believe it. The more you believe how much God loves us, the more we will have God's love to give to others, okay? Because that's the secret ingredient. It's not in my own flesh, not just faking it, not just doing grudgingly. Oh, I've got to serve, I've got to go. No, it's if you have the love of Christ, His love will constrain you. His love will compel you. His love will move you. It's going to be Him, not us. The hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have Him, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, the love of God in us. Do we believe this? Of course, the Bible tells us so. Then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The more we read the Scriptures of how much God loves us, claim it, believe it. We serve not so much because I love you, but because Jesus loves you, because He loves us. So, wrapping it all together, Jesus wants to fulfill His love in us. That's his order. That's His request. He does this when we fulfill His order to love one another with God's love, not ours, by believing in His love for us. When we do this, when we have the love of Christ in us, we will joyfully serve one another. We will have this great peace that passes understanding. We will have, regardless of what happens, nothing shall offend us, because we know God's love for us never changes. My feelings for someone might change. If that's the reason why I'm serving them, that's a slippery slope. But God's love for me, God's love for you never changes. If that's the reason why, then that's always going to be true. Amen. When we have the love of God in us, we have the desires of our heart, right? Which is to delight God. When we have the love of God in us, our cup runneth over. And when we are serving to Christ what He has requested, order up. What would you love, Lord? What would you like to order? I would like a full cup of joy, please. If I give it to the Lord, that delights Him so much. And His joy, thank you for giving this to me, becomes my joy. God desires His joy to be fulfilled in us. Don't let that order just hang there, you know, just pile up there. Make good of it. Fulfill it with the love of Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a thought, Lord, to have Your love fulfilled in me, in us. Your joy fulfilled in me, that Your joy becomes my joy, Lord, to have the love of Christ, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Lord, and what a thought that it boils down to Your love in us that constrains us to serve each other, to bear one another's burdens, Lord. What a wonderful thought that we don't need to run to the world to get our fix, to get our high, Lord, that we can have this spiritual joy in us fulfilled. Help us to be fulfilled. Christian, like David said, that his cup runneth over, Lord, that the joy of the Lord spills over to us, Lord, that we have Your joy fulfilled in us. And so bless now this time of corporate prayer. We're so thankful for this time that we can come on bended knee to ask Your will. And we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.